Welcome to my special quick tip series on leverage. Each day this week, I'll be bringing you a short 5 to 10 minute episode with some of my favorite actionable tactics and bits of strategy aimed at helping you operationalize this idea of leading in a more leveraged way. It can be easy to get lost in the seeming wonkiness of all of this sometimes, but I don't want you to lose sight of the fact that it's all doable. So I'm going to lean in to what that doing looks like in these episodes. Grab a notebook and enjoy. So I'm really excited to talk about what I call leveraged networks. Now, I realize if you have been listening to all of the mini episodes this week, you've heard me say that I'm really excited to talk about blank many times. And that's not an accident. I actually love this stuff. The sort of concrete nuts and bolts, tactical, how do you actually operationalize things? Part of things is one of my favorite parts of what I do. I love the strategy. I love the mindset, but the Virgo in me always wants to know, well, how are we going to get this done? So that's what I wanted to do this week. And I particularly love the topics that I've chosen. And this one, leverage networks, because they really are about operationalizing growth. So what is a leverage network? It is a structured relationship with a micro group of people within your broader ecosystem that you can leverage to expand your capacity, your brand, your resources, your influence, and your impact. So if you think about your organization as floating in a universe surrounded by many, many other stars, right? It's one star in a constellation of stars. And on your star, on your little planet, you have your board and you have your staff. And they're sort of right there with you, moving in the direction of impact. And most of us think about our capacity in terms of our staff and our board, right? How many people can I pay to do the work? And then the board is like this extra, hopefully, group of thought partners and hands on deck when you need them. What I really want to encourage you to think about is how you can connect with those other stars in your universe. Right? The other organizations in your ecosystem, the other people in your ecosystem, the other entities in your ecosystem in ways that actually allow you to treat them like they're on your star with you, right? They're under the tent, to mix metaphors. Your capacity is as big as your network. And more precisely, your capacity is as expansive as the network you can leverage to have the impact you want to have. And in order to leverage the people and institutions in your network, you have to have some kind of structured relationship with them. And this does not mean they have to be on your staff or board. That's what makes this so exciting. It just means they have to agree to have some kind of semi-formal connection to your organization and your mission. And I call these leveraged networks, these structured, intentional relationships with micro groups of people and institutions within your broader ecosystem. These are leverage networks are a great way to formalize your organization's access to not just a broader range of people with specialized information and experience and skills, but also, and I keep using this word, capacity, hands on deck, thought partnership, strategic guidance to help you achieve whatever your objectives are in a given year or period of time. So as you identify your strategic objectives, these leverage networks, the ones that you build, can give you a wider range of people under the tent to help you achieve those objectives, right? And what this means if you are an organization that's thinking about growth is that you can grow with more ease, with less friction, with less weight that you and your team are carrying. So there are four basic types of structured relationships that make up a leverage network: volunteers, advisors, a junior board or young professional board, and ambassadors. And I'm just going to give a working definition of each because I think most of us have a colloquial definition that we use, right? We know what volunteers are. We know what advisors are. I'm going to suggest that there are actually technical working definitions that when we're thinking about being intentional about these structured relationships, we actually want to use the working definition, not the more sort of general definition. And then I'm going to give an example of how I recommend leveraging these particular structured relationships. So the first is volunteers. And this can feel like the messiest one because a lot of organizations have various types of volunteers. The working definition here is these are people who offer to give their time, skills, and services. Time, skills, and services. These are concrete things to support your programs and or operations. So you want to think about volunteers in the context of a leverage network, not as the one-off people that, you know, help you paint a wall or do a career day with your kids. When you're thinking about leveraging a network of volunteers, this is a structured relationship, right? This is not right for every organization. The organization that I ran, we did not have a structured relationship with volunteers because the nature of our programming didn't lend itself to engaging volunteers, right? People who had skills and services that would actually help us increase our programmatic impact. The way that we worked, the nature of our work didn't lend itself to working with volunteers in that way. So building the structured relationship didn't fit for us. So I want you to think about whether you have programming or internal operations where having a structured relationship with one or more volunteers can actually increase your impact, right? Help you achieve programmatic or operational objectives that you have set. This is how you want to leverage these kinds of structured relationships in terms of programmatic or operational impact. So the second type of structured relationship are advisors. And this is another one of those sort of loosey-goosey terms. Everybody has people that advise them, or we should. But I'm actually talking here about a structured relationship to advisors, things like advisory councils. And these are, I think, often one of the least utilized or most underutilized, I'll say, types of structured relationships. Because I think they're underutilized because a lot of people think more generally about advisors, but they're really powerful and should be utilized more because they're one of the most easeful, low-hanging fruit ways to expand your organization's strategic capacity, your brand, and access to thought partnership and expertise. So when I say advisors as a structured relationship, I mean some kind of advisory council or advisory group. These are people who, in a semi-formal way, agree to be called your advisors, agree to be referenced in that way. Very often, you, depending on how you're going to leverage them, it may behoove you to, you know, have a document that lists your advisors or put them on your website. That's a great way, depending on, again, on who they are, to build trust with people who don't know you, right? The association by brand is really powerful. It's a really great thing to leverage in growing your organization's own brand. So at any given point, I recommend organizations have at least one advisory council. There are times when I've been on the board of organizations that have had two, three, or four, right? And they serve different purposes. When I was running my organization, we had the first advisory council. We had three by the time I left, but the first one that we formed was our corporate and small business advisory council. And the reason was because we realized that the nature of the work that we did, we basically helped young people craft and build social impact initiatives, social enterprises, small nonprofits in their communities, right? And there's something very entrepreneurial about that. And so we found that we were getting a lot of interest from a number of our donors and supporters were people who were starting their own small businesses or who were entrepreneurial in the for-profit space. And once I saw that pattern, as I was looking at my sort of donor data and supporter data, I wanted to lean more into that and see if there was a way to bring some of those folks more under the tent as ambassadors, maybe as major donors, where their corporate and business partnerships and sponsorships we could develop. But I didn't really know how. I was a lawyer by trade. I had never worked at a law firm. I'd only ever done social impact, social justice, and nonprofit work. And so some of the language that I used and the jargon that didn't sound or feel like jargon to me, but it turns out it was, and even the things that I emphasized and leaned into in describing what I thought was exciting about my work didn't necessarily resonate with people outside of the sort of bubble that I had built. And I didn't realize I had built a bubble. And so the people that we invited to be on this advisory council helped create a bridge for me, a messaging bridge, a community bridge where I could bring people under the tent that I had to sort of learn how to connect with. And they, the people on this advisory council, agreed to sign up for a year to be on this advisory council to help me learn, help me and my team learn how to connect with this new network of people. So that's something an advisory council can do. They can be ad hoc, right? They can come and go. They can be standing. There's a lot of flexibility here. The third type of structured relationship that I encourage you to think about are junior boards, or some people call them young professional boards. I also worked with a group inside my coaching program that sort of reimagined this as an elder board. These are people who are not juniors. They're not young professionals. They're actually retired professionals, but they're not either not interested in or not a great fit for the board. And really, and this is where, say, a junior board or an elder board is different from a group of volunteers or a group of advisors. These are people who offer their time, skills, and services similar to volunteers. But, and here's a key difference, they are aiming their time, skills, and services at helping to increase resources for the organization and awareness of the organization. So this is a brand awareness and a fundraising focus. These are people who want to help you raise money. They want to help you find new donors. They want to help you get more people excited about your organization. And so it doesn't really matter if they are a junior board or an elder board. They're not necessarily the right fit for your board, your governance board. And unlike other volunteers that are helping programmatically and operationally, these are people who are like, yeah, I want to tap my networks. I want to think in creative ways about how to raise money. I want to throw parties for you and run races and all the things. So I will say about this one, unlike, say, an advisory council, these will tend to take some support on your team. You're going to want to have at least one person. It does not have to be a senior level person, but someone that's going to be the liaison with this group of people. And so that's something to think about as you're structuring these relationships. And then the last type of structured relationship are ambassadors. And of the four that I've mentioned, advisors and ambassadors are the two that I think every single organization should have. Volunteers will be sort of program and organization specific, and junior boards, I think, honestly, will work better with organizations that have slightly more infrastructure already in place. But ambassadors are just really, really important. These are people who agree to help raise awareness about your organization and ask for support on your behalf. They're not a board. They are usually your existing donors, and you activate them to be out in the world asking for donations. These will be people that you can tap to be on host committees for events and to be leaders in campaigns that you do, particularly peer-to-peer campaigns, which are very, very important to build into your fundraising calendar. You can also leverage ambassadors, and this is, I think, a really exciting way to leverage these structured relationships to increase your access to or connection to constituents, program participants, clients, community members, particularly if you are thinking about expansion or moving into a new community, making sure that you build those bridges so that you're taking up space in an authentic way. You can do this with ambassadors who sort of go into the community or are part of the community and bring you in, welcome you in, as opposed to you sort of entering. So those are two ways to think about ambassadors. essentially they are sort of going out ahead of you into new communities of donors, supporters, constituents, et cetera, new communities, and saying, hey, this organization's amazing. I want you to join us, right? As a donor, as a supporter, as a program participant, et cetera. So each of these structured relationships can be leveraged in different ways, right, to move the work of your organization forward. Volunteers, as I said, programmatic and operational. Advisors, think strategic and brand awareness. Junior boards and young professionals or elder boards are about awareness and resources. And ambassadors are really about program impact and brand awareness and fundraising. As you think about growing in ways that feel more easeful and are sustainable, identifying what parts of a leverage network make the most sense for you can be a really great way to take the next step in your level of capacity.